Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating, where we talk about the whys. Why does this happen? Why do people do these things? And like, why are we so awesome? No, just kidding. But we already know why. Happy Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving week, I guess you call this. It should be something to celebrate. We made it through a major holiday.
We did it. It was a little weird this year, but you know, it came out ahead. This quote, I feel like that we put up on Instagram, I feel like captured it so well. Yes. It was for anyone that is not following us on Instagram. If you're not, get on there now. But I thought 2020 would be the year I got everything I wanted. Now I know 2020 is the year I appreciate everything I have. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that really has, this year has encompassed that 100%.
It's a year of reflection and Thanksgiving.
For sure.
No matter how you spent it, I think was a moment of just pausing and reflecting back on this crazy ass year and just being grateful for those little moments that probably you didn't even think about in previous years. Like this year, just having the privilege of eating a really great meal made me stop in my tracks and think, wow, I'm very privileged to be able to eat this wonderful meal. We did not have turkey. We had duck. We had roasted duck and yum. It was gorgeous and amazing. And my mom made lobster tail. I mean, the whole thing was just absolutely wonderful. And being able
I should have been at the shoe house.
Yeah, you should have. We planned this for months. I was like, I want surf and turf and no turkey. My mom is incredible. She's an incredible cook. But being able to spend the time with my parents, we drove down, my boyfriend and I drove down to LA or to SoCal from NorCal. And you know, just having the option to do that was also just something I was really grateful for.
Totally. I mean, I've been really happy that I've been able to get back. I know like it's been a mixed bag with travel this season for sure. I think going the week before was a very smart move for me. Like I know like not everyone had the luxury to go and take off work or whatever, but I think just seeing like the crowded airports, and when I went, there was like very few people in the airports. So I think that was definitely a blessing. And then to, you know, not have COVID and be with I did a very small gathering this year. It was just my my mom and dad, and we got food from a restaurant.
Your two parents. Like, I think my two parents. Just my two sets of parents.
If there's something I haven't told you.
As opposed to, my normal one set. I get two this year.
But I was able to, I saw my parents. I feel like I've been able to see people in like smaller sets this year. So I saw my parents for Thanksgiving. And then my mom and I did a day trip to see my brother and my sister-in-law. So we drove 3 hours to their suburb that they live into in New York. And my mom was like, you cannot use the bathroom. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be.
What?
Because she didn't want to stop like at some random thing on the street, like in public bathrooms. And I'm like, I don't know if I can make it, but I'll do my best.
You just held it for 3 hours?
So, yeah. So I'm sure this is why everyone's tuning into a dating podcast, but I learned this trick. So this is good for anyone.
That's apparently, a trick.
Apparently when you eat bread, it like curbs your bladder.
Oh, it absorbs it. And you get to eat bread. It's a win-win situation.
Exactly. So that was fun. Did that. And then I got to see my aunt and uncle today. And they have this new dog. And
cutest his name, doggy.
I know. I sent you a photo because he was so cute. And his name is Fauci.
Fauci? No way.
It's like, that, I don't know if I want to remember.
That dog is very smart.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to remember this time forever, but I guess I will be every time I see that dog.
Fauci is adorable. I never thought I would say that, but Fauci is absolutely adorable.
The man is adorable also. He is a cute man.
He's very soft, the dog, that is.
You know what's been funny, though, is I've been actually like using dating apps while I've been here. And with people in San Francisco still, I'm not like trying to like get on the apps with people in Boston because I'm only going to be here for like a month or so. And I feel like someone in our group, Ivy, mentioned this new term.
Holoswiping.
Like,
holiday swiping.
So dead on because I've definitely seen an uptick. But one of the challenges I've had is that I've told some people that I'm in Boston, like we're having a really great conversation, and then I say I'm in Boston, and then they just like disappear.
No. Wait, you're talking to people in the Bay Area still?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. No, you got a
local
swipe.
I get it. I know, but I don't want a local swipe. I get it, though. I'm trying to just like, you know, do the video, but I have talked to some, and they have been great, and people, it's not all people. It's just like there's been a little bit of a trend of some people being like, wait, like one guy's like, oh, what are you up to today? And I'm like, oh, I'm in Boston. He's like, peace, kind of.
Yeah, but a little far for me. But here's the thing, though, if you are a Bay Area person in Boston for the holidays, there's got to be other people in the same situation. I always think about this. You're never the only person in this situation in particular. Do some local swiping. You might be able to find someone who is similar to you.
I have been talking to people that haven't been turned off by it. So I think it's okay. Oh, okay, I mean, really, in theory, like what is a month, especially right now in COVID times, like where you are in LA, it's back to lockdowns, right? So yeah. I feel like San Francisco might be heading there soon. Like it's like realistically, like we might not be meeting up even if we were in the exact same place.
So you can take it real slow for that month.
Exactly. Exactly.
I do think it's crazy that as soon as we got down to LA, they were like, we're closing outdoor dining. For 3 weeks. I mean, I think we were here a few days before they closed everything down. So we ate out every meal.
Oh, yeah. You're like, we got to get it in.
Just to take advantage, but also such a privilege to be able to eat out. Mm-hmm. I forgot what that felt like. To not do the dishes, to not have to cook. It's a beautiful feeling. And it's also a time, like, if you think about all those previous years of Thanksgiving, all the body shaming that media companies do the day after Thanksgiving. It's like, oh, working off that turkey. There's the turkey run. There's like burning off all that food. This year, no. We haven't had any of that. Just be grateful that you had food with people that you love.
Exactly. Well, speaking of body shaming, I feel like that is our topic for today. You know, I feel like this has been, I mean, we have an amazing guest, Erin. This actually all stemmed from our Facebook group. So shout out if you're not in the Facebook group, Love in the Time of Corona, definitely join. It is the most happening place on the internet. I'm going to keep plugging it that way because that's what it is.
We trademarked
but
that.
But we had this post. I think this post went viral within the group, if we could say that. But she put up a post about body image. Like, has anyone else experienced this? And literally, like, I mean, I think this might have been our most commented on post. Like, people were coming out of the woodwork everywhere. Like, men, women
women of all shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was really just like universal of how much body image really impacted all of us when it came to dating. And that's how she phrased it. And she's like, hey, potential podcast topic idea. And we were like, hey, do you want to be at the podcast? Because you just volunteered yourself. So it was really great because she had so much experience. And, you know, like we really get into it, but some of it, it's like comments that people make in passing can really sit with you for a long time. And it's so crazy, like how people can just make these comments and like it rolls off your tongue and it really like eats at people's self-esteem. And I've been there myself personally, like this has always been a struggle for me in dating. And I don't know what the answer is this. I'm really hoping Janice, our moderator, poses this as a question to hear people's, but I go back and forth because I'm like, on one hand, it's like, you don't want to let this get in your way. You know, it's like, you're never going to be perfect. You want someone to love you for who you are. So like, keep going, like, don't let like your weight get in the way of dating or like the way you feel about your body. But then on the other side, if you don't feel good, it's really hard to like want to feel intimate and like want to like put yourself out there in that way. So it's like I struggle with it because I know for myself, like the times that I have taken a step back and like felt better about myself, that's when I do attract people. So it's kind of chicken and egg, but it's also like not ideal just to be sitting in limbo waiting for that like perfect time when you lose like X amount of pounds or you gain X amount of pounds. Like it just doesn't work that way either.
I think sometimes we just forget that our bodies are so different that we can't, there's like no magic formula that works on my body that will work on someone else's body. This is why I love all this like genetic testing and DNA testing because, you know, like in addition to the podcast, I work in the fitness industry. I've been in this industry for a long time and I'm surrounded by extremely fit people, but everyone's journey is so different. I can honestly tell you there are some people in this industry who don't need to work out, who can eat whatever they want and still look extremely cut and fit. And then some people who've struggled their whole life, so their body becomes their trophy because they had to work so hard. But ultimately, I think it's not about this image. And I think that's a problem with our culture is that we have this image of what an ideal body looks like. It's really about the ideal healthy body for you. I think healthy is the key word. I've seen people in the fitness industry who are extremely unhealthy, who look like they should be there. You know, they've got like the six pack abs. Do you know what they do to get the six pack abs? They don't eat for 6 days straight. They don't even drink water just so they don't have any water weight, just so their six pack can show through. And then there are other people in the industry who can eat pasta the night before a competition or whatever. And the next day they have like eight packs. So it's you can see it as unfair or you can see it as I just need to think about like what's the best for me and my body.
Right. And I think it is a lot of it is like we say this about everything, but it is mindset shift. Like I know I'm never going to be like a size zero. So it's like I could be upset about that and let that like deter me from dating and think that there's no one that likes my body shape, or I can like embrace who I am. Like you can obviously make your like get in the best shape for yourself or the healthiest for yourself. But at the end of the day, like a lot of it is just your own, like the way you process it. And I think that's really great in this episode too, is Erin talks about a lot of the work she did to just come to terms with who she is and like see the beauty of who she is, because she truly is a beautiful person. And she also, as a plug, has this amazing podcast called Accidental Badass. And a lot of this was fueled by like some of the stories she said in this episode is shocking to me. Like I have not heard of people getting this much like blatant, you know, like criticism for their body type. Like it's crazy. And just how she's processed this and made it like a positive thing is actually truly admirable. So I'm glad she was able to like funnel that energy into something like this Accidental Badass podcast. It's just how she like views herself as a whole now.
I think this conversation for us, we came to the conclusion that a lot of this body shaming comes from people's insecurities. And, you know, I don't know if this is a controversial topic to bring up or not, but we did have to kick out someone from our Facebook group who did exactly this. There was a someone posted something about just, you know, getting over like kind of body image issues when it comes to dating. And this man posted this very inappropriate comment about how he said when he felt the most insecure is when he went for women who were plus size or something, right? And then and that he felt
it was really fucked
up, and how he thinks that, like, with people who are more confident, that they wouldn't do that. It was really, I don't know, he was trying to do like a backhanded compliment. It was definitely very insulting, and I'm glad we kicked him out of the group. But there are still people who think like that, who right. let them their insecurities drive these thoughts of like, what's the perfect body?
Right. And I do want to say, he was not a dateable listener. He was a friend of someone. So while we do encourage friends to come, but also be careful who you invite, because your stamp is kind of on them. So yeah, I just want to point that out. We've had no issues with dateable listeners, to be honest. A lot of it's been friends that's been the challenge. And yeah, I think we made an assumption like, oh, your friends represent you. So hopefully we don't have to keep doing that. But, you know, we're on it. If something like that happens, like, that's not okay. Like, that is not a, like, this poor woman was like coming to just like get heard, and this was not what she wanted back.
I love that the group checked him, though. They were like, no, nope, that is not okay. Nope. Does not fly.
People
in
got
our group.
Each other's back. But yeah, this is a great episode, though. Super excited to air it. Other announcements that we have quickly before we get into all of this. If you're not in the sounding board yet, you're going to hear us keep bringing this up, because it's just so wonderful. And we're so excited. We just got off the call with some great coffee chats. And that is one of the perks if you're in one of the tiers. There's a tier for everyone. So you can go to statablepodcast.com/soundingboard and read all about it. But we have an audio series, events, one-on-one coffees with UA and I, but also just an amazing community. Like, really, between us and the community members, you will have your sounding board, these people to really just, like, you know, be there for you and not let the douchebaggery get in.
Yeah, we don't allow douchebags. Although douchebags do have feelings too. I'm sure they have their own sounding board. Let us know if you do find a douchebag sounding board. We love to invite them. And we also want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode, Function of Beauty. Just like body types, there's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care. We've all been there where a friend recommends a shampoo they're obsessed with, and then you try it and you're like, I really don't love this. So Function of Beauty is all about changing that mindset that there's no one size fits all. They formulate hair care specifically for you. And how specific? Well, they have over 54 trillion, I don't even know how many zeros that is, possible ingredient combinations to make sure the formula is as unique as you. You know, all you do is take a quiz to tell them about your hair. They determine the right blend of ingredients, and they deliver these personalized formulas in this really cute bottle that, Julie, you're very proud of this. What did you call yours?
Function of Dateable.
And as the internet's top rated customized hair care brand, Function of Beauty has over 40,000 real 5-star reviews. So what are you waiting for? Go to functionofbeauty.com/dateable to take your 4-part hair profile quiz and save 20% on your first order. Again, go to functionofbeauty.com/dateable for 20% off and let them know you heard about them from our show, Dateable. It's functionofbeauty.com/dateable.
Love it. And then our final announcement, you know, unfortunately, our Black Friday Cyber Monday sale is over, but that doesn't mean that you cannot still buy our incredible merch. I feel you know, like, there's a lot, the socially distant yet emotionally available, that line is flying off the shelves. And the Quarantine for Fuckboys line, I definitely may have ordered myself a tank top on that one. But we've been loving people sending us, like, even in Instagram stories, that you've been purchasing the mugs. And, you know, we took in some, like, requests too to get the Zooty Call line and Master Dating line. So, you know, like, there's a lot of great stuff on there. Like, honestly, like, we're super excited about it. The reception has been amazing. We can't wait till you guys start receiving your items. So if you did already buy, definitely post it in your Instagram stories or on Instagram about your merch. But if you haven't bought yet, you can go to datablepodcast.com/shop. And if you're a sounding board member, you get discounts all the time. You don't have to wait till Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So another reason to join the sounding board.
Our merch line is like the progression of a relationship. Like, we're just starting out. If you're like, I'm sort of committed to these girls, you get a sticker, right? And then the next step is like a mug, because now every morning when you drink your coffee, you think, think of us. And then the next step is maybe a fanny pack, because you're like, okay, I'm carrying stuff. Like, I trust these girls to hold my important items. And then the final step is like the loud sweatshirt.
quarantine from fuckboys, loud and clear.
That's when you know you have an exclusive relationship. You are committed to us. That is how our merch store works. It's the evolution.
What is more committed? Quarantine for fuckboys sweatshirt or DTF mask? I'm not sure.
Oh my, DTF mask. That's true.
If I saw someone in the DTF mask, I would 100% approach them. People are always asking, like, how can people approach me in real life in COVID? We gave you like 10 different merch lines. Socially distant yet emotionally available, right there. I may have also added that to my profile too.
Now we just need a shirt that says COVID negative to go along with a DTF mask, you know, just to double reinforcement. Yep. Might work out well. Just saying.
And of course, like, obviously there's so many ways you could support us, you know, by either joining the sounding board or purchasing merch. But also, we totally get that people, you know, are struggling with COVID. So if that's not in the cards with you right now, like, tell a friend. That's another way of like giving back to us. Leave us a good review. We always love the good reviews. It helps so much. It helps us get those great guests. So there's other ways to give back to if you've been listening to the show for a long time.
And a great episode to tell your friend about would be our last week's episode that was all about turbo relationships. People really love this episode.
So good.
So many people have been in turbo relationships. And we went through this whole story of a turbo relationship and came through some breakthroughs. I think that was the most important part. Like, how do you learn from these turbo relationships if they don't last that long, but they go so deep and passionate? Which is also the inspiration for our Would You Rather for the week, which was Would you rather bring it back?
People. Yes.
Every once in a while, we will. Would you rather be in a passionate, deep, but tumultuous relationship for 1 month, or a stable, caring, yet stagnant relationship for 1 year?
Mm.
And there was a lot of discussion in our Facebook group about what the word stagnant means. I thought that was really interesting.
People very fixated on this word.
We had to bring out a definition, but some people were saying, like, is stagnant just comfort? Is stagnant just no sex? People had their own definitions. To me, stagnant just means the relationship is not progressing. It is just at a standstill.
Ooh. That changes it a little.
Does it change? Oh, okay. Because I think the stable and caring were the words that people were drawn to for the 1 year relationship, but the stagnant is that's a wild card. So what is your response?
Oh, this is so tough. Because I think, like, when I thought stagnant originally, I thought it was just like kind of like boring, but not like it was still progressing. Oh, this is tough. I think I was originally going to say the opposite. So I'm actually flipping on the fly now that I've gotten some more insider's info here. But I think originally I was like, I'm so done with like that 1 month one that really like kind of like gets you excited and then fucks you over essentially. Cause you get like, you build this like future and like all this stuff and then it doesn't happen. But if we're talking about a stagnant relationship, in theory, you've actually invested more time into it and it's not going anywhere. So I think I'm going to actually go with the 1 month. I mean, I prefer neither, but if I'm going to waste time, I'd rather waste 1 month than like a year and like think I have a future that's not going anywhere.
Yep.
What would you do?
To me, I was in a 1 year, I was in a 2 year.
Oh, yes.
Stable, caring, yet stagnant relationship. And it was nice, but I didn't learn anything. So I think it just comes back to, what do you want to get out of it? What I learned was I didn't want to be in something like that again. Mm-hmm. So I would choose what you chose, is I rather learn as much as I can in 1 month than learn, not have many learnings in 1 year. But we are totally opposite from the majority. 75% of people said they'd rather be in a 1 year stagnant yet caring and stable relationship than the 1 month. I think it's really, it's a reflection of the times. It is. It's a reflection of the pandemic where people really wish they had something stable. Mm-hmm. They had a partner. They don't need that 1 month like here and gone the next day. They're craving that stability. And a lot of people said that. I'm craving stability right now.
I could see that. I mean, the 1 month does like, there's something that feels so unfinished about it that it hurts. I think it's like if stagnant wasn't just not going anywhere and it was just not like super exciting, I would have picked the 1 year and hands down.
Yeah.
But the idea of it just not going anywhere for so long, like knowing that and opting in is troublesome to me.
Yeah. You can argue it either way.
Totally.
And then of course, a lot of people said, I'd rather just be single if those are the two choices. Of course. But that's not... How would you rather works? How many times do I have to tell you guys
exactly.
this?
Everyone, it's so funny, people's reactions to you when you post it. They're like, why would you post this? It's like, it's a game of extremes. It's
you're like, I'd rather just lock myself in a room by myself and be single forever. I'm like, I'm sorry. It was just like hypothetical question.
Maybe should always be a third one of lock yourself and be single forever.
That is a really good idea.
It could be like the wild card, you know? They could always pick that if you really don't want to do it.
But. Yes, or be like kidnapped into a cult forever.
Shout out to Yue's ex, though, who I saw on the street and definitely ignored me. I literally walked right by him and I was like, oh, and then looked away. But maybe he didn't notice me in my mask. Who knows?
How weird is that? We've been broken up for almost 3 years and I've not run into him once. Julie's run into him twice.
Okay. In one time though, I was in an Uber. So he 100% did not see me. But this time I literally walked right by him and he looked at me and then looked away.
Yeah, he definitely saw you just and recognized saying, you. I love how saying. Julie's like, well, I was wearing my mask. Maybe he couldn't recognize me. I'm like, no, Julie, he definitely saw you. He recognized you. It's not like you're wearing like a uniform or whatever. Like, you didn't just disappear behind your mask.
Nope.
Well, enough about exes. Let's get to this episode about body image with Erin. How much has body image played into your dating and relationship life? That's the topic for this episode. And it happens to be one of the most popular topics that was brought up in our Facebook group that Erin, you posted about.
Yes.
Had hundreds of comments and likes and emoji feedback. What was the most fascinating about that post was we had equal number of women and men who chimed in about how body image impacts all of us, no matter our size, our height, our age, our gender, our ethnicity. I mean, it really doesn't matter because it is one of those things that's so personal that we are all insecure about, or we have some sort of blocker about. And so I think it's great that we're taking the time to make an episode just out of body image. We previously had a guest on named Natalie who we talked about body image with, and she wrote a book called Everybody Beautiful. And it's about time. It's been a few years. It's about time we bring it back and really hone into what does it mean to have this relationship with this image of body image, and how does it affect your relationship life? Erin, how are you? Are you staying warm in Chicago?
Yes, I am staying warm, thankfully. I stocked up on sweaters. It's like every year you have to add 5 new layers. Yes, I'm staying warm.
Well, you're so used to it because you've been in Chicago since the age of 13. You're 44 now. So basically all of your life you've been in Chicago, you're pretty much used to the weather. And it looks like you're taking a dating sabbatical. The narrative that you have in your head is relationships have failed in the past because of your body type. Tell us more about this narrative and why do you think it plays out for you like this?
So that is a big bag, lots to unpack on that. When I was growing up, my father, I was 12 years old, I remember it vividly. He just unloaded on me some very crappy stuff. And I know now as an adult that was his issues, but he would tell me, if I didn't lose the baby weight, I was never going to be lovable. No one would love me.
In those words, like that explicit?
Oh, that explicit. Yeah.
And how old were you when he started saying this to you?
So yes, I was 12 years old when he started to say that. It just stuck in my head. And, you know, then I got into my 20s, met my ex-husband. And even when I was married to him, there came a point in our marriage where he kind of repeated the same thing that my father had repeated. You know, I'm not attracted to you. I don't want to take you places because I find you unattractive. And then he asked for a divorce, and that was 7 years ago. And so I had it programmed into my head that, hey, because you have a little more meat on your bones, you're a little curvier, a little thicker, that you're unattractive. You're undesirable. You're unattractive. And for the longest time, I mean, we're talking a long, long time, a lot of therapy, a lot of stuff. I believed that the reason why my relationships didn't work out was because my body was unattractive to the men that I went out on a date or dates with.
Wow. So I feel like to get that message from that early of age, from a male figure, like I definitely feel like growing up, my mom was always like, watch what you eat, blah, blah, blah. But I never, like, I think having a male figure explicitly say that has definitely got to, you know, get in your head with it. And then you said all the way to your ex-husband. What about in between that? Like, how did this play in with other people you dated along the way? Or were you not dating that much?
Yeah, I mean, I was not a nun, any stretch of the imagination. To me, my interpretation, and again, where this narrative, the programming that I had in my head and the narrative that I had was, when I would meet people and, you know, over text, over phone calls, they would say, and these could be blind dates, these could be apps, they would say, you're great. Oh my gosh, I love your energy. You were so awesome. Just all these complimentary things. And then we would meet up we'd meet up, we'd go out on a date or sometimes a couple of dates. And it's like, I like you more as a friend. I heard that so many times, even people I met, you know, organically. I have, you know, a list of just the guy friends who are like, oh my God, yeah, you're a great woman. I love having you in my life. I'm just not attracted to you. And in my head, it's just like, it's because they don't like my body type. And I can step back from it now and see that that may not have been the case, but I heard it so often, so often. I remember being out with a big group and everyone else was eating. And I think like I wasn't that hungry that night. And a guy that I'd kind of been interested in had made a comment like, oh, finally going on the diet, huh?
Oh, you my know? God.
Yeah. Like, oh, you know, when you lose like 25 pounds, come find me because I will totally fuck you. And it was just like one of those, like, and that was probably a couple of years ago. And it's just what the fuck? Like, are you fucking kidding me? So when you hear stuff like that, it gutted me for the longest time and made me not want to date, actually. Mm-hmm. I would take long dating breaks because you hear that repeatedly. Now, from the time I was divorced until now, it's been 7 years. I've had a handful of longer term relationships in between there. So obviously, it's not every guy I ever went out with. You know, it was still kind of, you got that feeling and it's like, I don't know that I ever questioned what was wrong with me in my head. I felt I knew what was wrong with me was the way I looked and specifically my body type.
I can totally relate with your situation of like the guy friend that's always like telling you like how hot every other girl is that in makes it seem like because you're not, you don't look like them, that makes you not hot. But that's more inferring where this is like blatant in your face. Have you had anyone else say stuff? Like, I'm just like so baffled by these.
Oh God. Yeah. Just, I mean, I feel like if you can imagine it, I've probably heard it. Oh gosh, let's see. Your tits are nice, but your stomach's too large.
Someone said that explicitly?
Uh-huh.
Like someone who were dating or just some like rando? Like what was the context of it?
So there was one, it was summer, wearing a really cute top, a little V-neck number, and some shorts. And yeah, he was just, you know, kind of, I was with a group of friends and we were all just kind of hanging out and kind of flirting all with each other. And you could tell he was the one who wasn't getting hooked up with the rest of the women in my group. And I think it was just his own, you know, I'm going to put you down. I'm going to neg you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put you down so I feel a little bit better about myself. So yeah, it was just like, well, yeah, your tits are hot, but like almost to be like, yeah, I think the top half of you I could do with the body. Like,
wow.
You're just, your proportions aren't enough. Yeah. So it's just, shit. I've developed really thick skin.
I mean, no wonder you have this, like, this thought goes through your mind. Like, it's hard not to.
And that's pretty natural. It's a natural reaction for all of us if we keep hearing the same response about us. Mm-hmm. And then if we keep turning that response into the narrative we have in our head, then in the end, our conclusion is, oh, these didn't work out because of obviously this reason. And it's, I think all of us have been through that. There's just that one thing that we were insecure about.
And sometimes it could be the type of people you're attracting based on what you're putting out there. I had a conversation with this friend of mine who had very similar narrative in her head. When she finally took inventory of the men that she was attracted to or was attracting, they preyed on women who had insecurities. And if you look at their dating history, they're only dating women with insecurities of all shapes and sizes because that's what makes them feel powerful. That's what makes them feel masculine. But it really fucked up these women. So on one hand, it's how you digest information. On the other hand, is to really look at like the energy you're putting out there and what is sticking to that energy.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we're like evidence seekers too, like especially for women, we're kind of fed this narrative from a really early age. I remember like looking through all the magazines and seeing like, you know, like I remember it was like supermodels and like people that you like looked up to when you were younger. And if you think that you don't look a certain way, you start to think that is what, like that's what all men want, or like that's what all people of whoever you're trying to attract want. And I guess like for you, like, did you have any situations that helped you kind of see like, okay, this might just be a limiting belief that I have? Has anyone ever like told you how much they loved your body, like given you compliments?
Far fewer. The guys that I probably have gone out on several dates, handful of dates, you know, or the ones that I dated more long-term, they would. And even that was kind of framed in the I love your squishy parts, which I've just come to like, it's what I have. I don't, you know, I have squishy parts. I own it. My body type and configuration is either not something that ever comes up in the conversation. It's never the center of attention. I have great friends. I have great friendships and have had relationships where my body has nothing to do with anything. You know, it's my brain, my, you know, my wit, my sense of humor that what attracts people, whether it comes to my dating life or even friendships. And I think that reminds me, maybe in the past had I felt was judging me just on the way I looked. It's like, well, the majority of people, you know, friends, the male friends, female friends, the relationships, the people I did date for maybe a couple of months and things didn't work out because of timing. It's like that helped me confirm that, well, hey, wait a minute. The reason why this didn't work out had nothing to do with the way I looked. You know, the reason why this didn't work out is we were too busy, or it was just a you know, bad timing. That timing seems to be my biggest issue lately, but probably more recently started to notice that, hey, it's not necessarily the way I look is why something didn't work out. Almost to offset all of that negative, I have developed almost like a hyper sense of self-confidence, like knowing that like I am kick-ass at a lot of things I do. I excel at everything I put my mind to, almost as if in my head to like overcompensate for like, I am cute. Like I believe I am an attractive person, pretty eyes. I hear all of the positive stuff to tell. I look at my body in the mirror and I do that practice of I love you hips. Mm-hmm. I love you boobs. I had a lumpectomy 4 years ago. So I have like a scar on my right breast. And it's like, I look at that. It's like, nope, you're beautiful. You know what? The asymmetry in your boobs. I love you.
Yeah.
Hips. I love you too. Thicker legs.
I mean, that's amazing. I feel like you have, like that is, I think that's really what you should be doing. I think that's wonderful that you're doing that.
I think a lot of the negativity has helped feed and give me energy to accomplish things that, like, I have a second degree black belt in karate that I swear to God, half of it was fueled by just pure anger of, you know, a father with issues, an ex-husband that was mean. I only stopped doing martial arts because I had so many injury, like joint deterioration, because I pushed so hard, so fast. So when I said the big bag of stuff to unpack, kind of a different layer to this too, was said father who kind of said the unkind things. He actually died earlier, about a year ago. It was very sudden. It was very shocking. Well, it was sudden to me. I didn't know he was sick. It kind of broke me open, for lack of a better word, because it's someone who had an estranged relationship with for the last year and a half. Didn't get to say goodbye. Mm. How his death was handled was very mysterious and still a lot of questions. And I bring all of that up because the lack of closure, the lack of getting to say goodbye, just the general lack of anything with this man who had such an impact just made me so sad. Like I had a hard time with the grief mm-hmm. process. Very early on in the year, sought out counseling. I've seen therapists for most of my adult life for various issues. But early on in the year, that was something that I knew I wanted to get a hold of mm-hmm. and deal with my grief appropriately. And a constant theme that came up was throughout my whole life, not just dating, but that I'm not enough, that I'm not pretty enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough. One of the things that came up within that was the how I look and the dating aspect. And my therapist, very wise, you know, pointed out there are plenty of women your size, larger, thinner, what have you, that have very loving relationships. And to work on, don't always isolate that is the reason why. Don't focus so hard that is the reason why. So I have tried very hard, and I call it deprogramming my head, because it, for, you know, 30 something years, really felt to me that the reason why things didn't happen in my life was because of how I looked, because I was a chunkier girl, woman. And so that's been a huge part of it, is working on kind of removing that narrative, that programming in my brain that said, like, yeah, there were other factors at play. None of them had anything to do with you, Erin. It was probably the other person. And you need to give ownership back to that person mm-hmm. for why it wasn't time. Don't own the reason. Give it back to them and don't automatically default to, oh, woe is me. They think I'm ugly and that's why.
Let's hold that thought for a second. We'll get right back to it. Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere. And the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a five-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/dateable. This episode is made possible by Armoire. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out. Listen, I live in Southern California. There is absolutely no need for puffer coats or any sort of those winter jackets. But when I travel anywhere else in the world in these cold months, I'm often burdened with the task of getting winter clothes. And now with Armoire, I can just rent my winter wardrobe. It's brilliant. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/dateable. That is armoire.style, spelled armoire.style/dateable to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think also, like, I mean, I even felt it like recently because I've definitely gained some weight during the quarantine time this year. Obviously, has not been as active and definitely have turned to some comfort food. And I was like on a date recently, and I admit the thought did cross my mind, like, is he not reaching out because my photos are from when I was, you know, 10 to 15 pounds lighter? And I was like, I can't believe this thought is even going through my mind right now. And I had to like stop and take a step back and think about it. But it did go through my mind. And sometimes it is really hard to untrain ourselves for this type of thing. I think like what you were saying, though, and this has helped me in the past too, Erin, like through therapy, is like, okay, there are people in all types of shapes and sizes that are in healthy relationships. It is not like only super skinny people can be in relationships or whatever. And I would love your thoughts, Erin, but like seeing in our Facebook group, like on the post you made, pretty much like all women of all sorts of shapes and sizes commented. Like even I think Janice, who's our moderator, who does like health coaching, like she was saying that even as like 120-pound 5'6", 5'7" woman, she got body shame. Like what was your reaction to seeing that this happens, like everyone experiences it in some shape or form?
Yes. The response in that Facebook group to that post, it was eye-opening and refreshing, almost gratifying to see, wait a minute, I'm not the only one. I mean, I figured I wasn't going to be the only one who, you know, maybe put thought behind how body image would impact my dating life, but to see the varied responses, how hair is styled, what their body is like, what they've been shamed for being too thin or perceived to be too thin. And that's the women. Once some of the men started to hop aboard the conversation, it opened up a whole new just right. way of looking at things and the way, you know, men have tended to be judged. Women will say, oh, I won't date a guy under whatever. I'm 5'4", so my height requirement is, you know.
6 feet, though, is usually the deal breaker.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like,
still unreasonable.
It's still unreasonable. And, or he's too hairy, or he doesn't have enough hair. Hearing men chime into this conversation, because this isn't just a female issue, body image isn't just related to women. By the time, you know, we had kind of wrapped up the conversation within that particular post, we all came to the conclusion that, hey, don't be a judgmental ass when you're dating, because right. everyone is dealing with some kind of insecurity. Everyone.
Yeah. And it's like, this is the part I don't understand. There's no alignment in what people say their preferences are and their own shortcomings. So we have all these matchmaker friends who say, well, my clients are so unreasonable because they may not be everything that they require their partner to be. I want my partner to be athletic, and I want her to have 34 double D's, and I want her to have a PhD. But at the same time, I'm not working on these things myself.
Right.
So that's another way of looking at body image and just personal image, that is just like, we keep casting other people. Like, this is what I think. This is the movie we're all in, and we're casting characters. And at the same time, we're casting ourselves into these roles that aren't fit for us. And it goes into like this conversation again, Erin, you brought up hair. This is a huge discussion in the Hollywood world, where actresses would change their hair color and then all of a sudden they'd be cast as a leading lady, because that is what a leading lady looks like. I'm curious, you've done some experiments with your hair. What have you found?
I have. So I had fiery red ginger lock for about 4.5-5 years. Up until this February. And I loved my red hair. It just seemed to match my personality, you know, fun, fiery, just fun. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, but I felt like I got so much negative attention. Mm. I mean, I got great positive attention when I would be out on the street or shopping or out at a bar back in, you know, back when you could be at a bar. I would get random strangers, mostly women, walking up to me and telling me how much they loved my hair. And that was nice. It's very affirming. But then I would also get negative attention from men. This went on for years, almost from the day that I walked out of the salon the first time. And I think when I first converted to, you know, the red hair, I know now I needed that extra boost. I needed that little shock of confidence, that extra pep in my step, and probably needed a little bit more of that, hey, I want the attention. I'm going to be a redhead now. So I did it 4.5-5 years. And I received a comment on New Year's Eve. The comment was some guy had been flirting with me all night. It was nice. You know, I was there with a bunch of friends, and the guy was getting progressively drunker. And almost immediately after the stroke of midnight, he went up to kiss me, you know, for New Year's. And, you know, I let him peck on the cheek, and I kind of pushed him away, and he comes back with, oh, come on, don't be a tease. Come on, come back to my hotel room with me. I've always wanted to know what it would feel like to fuck a fiery redhead. Come on, come on.
Ooh.
And he's like, and so when I'm like, excuse me, back off, he's like, come on, you ginger bitch.
Oh my God.
Suck my, yeah, and I won't fill out the rest. Use your imaginations. But that became a defining moment for me. You know, I'm not so sure that this red hair is working in my favor anymore. And I started to wonder, and actually researched a little bit, searches on red hair and its impact, you know, dyed red hair, on its impact of dating and perceptions people had. And then I also look like from a professional standpoint, because I also heard some things professionally that I was constantly referred to as just the firecracker at work, you know, the wild firecracker at work. And once I came to this decision that, you know, I had a hair appointment coming up in February, I was going to see, can we throw like a brunette rinse over the red? What would that look like? And so the guy who does my hair, we did it, and it looked really cool. And I remember going out to a bar, meeting my friends that night. And some people didn't recognize me, and, you know, my whole family, because I went home that weekend for something for my family, and they're like, oh my God, I love it. You look like such a different person. Mm-hmm. Because that was probably a month before, you know, things started to shut down. When people did see me, even people who have known me for years, even coworkers, had made the comment that I now suddenly looked so friendly and approachable and nice and sweet.
And nothing else changed except for your
and
hair.
And nothing else changed about me but my hair color. I will say, I have stuck with the brown hair. I love it so much now. It feels more me than the red hair did. And over the summer and into fall, when I have been on dating apps, I have seen some guys that I matched with before, and there were a couple of guys who I'd actually met off of dating apps, who I rematched with. A couple of these guys had made comments seeing me with the dark hair, the brown hair, saying like, what happened? What happened to the red hair? You were so fuckable with the red hair.
Oh my God.
Now you're just blah.
Ugh.
And so now the hair color, and I remember at the time my belief, and now I stand by this even more, is changing my hair color. Basically, I do blend in more. I do with my brown hair. I don't stand out as much as I did with the red hair, but now I thankfully, people, I have to talk and exchange and communicate. And I'm not just sticking out with the red hair and people are making assumptions about me. It's here, let's have a conversation. Let's communicate. So yeah, it's been very eye-opening just to change my hair color. So I had a therapy Zoom. It's the first time my therapist had seen me with my haircut, because, you know, I've lost track of time on hair stuff. She's like, you're absolutely glowing. Like that haircut and something that I was so freaked out about when I got it. I'm like, oh my God, it's gonna make my face look so pudgy and blah, 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 blah. And like when I've gone into the office, when I saw my therapist, she's like, no, you're glowing. Like that is the hair. And it's just one of those like, you know what? I feel like I am. Like I finally, I think like what quarantine did was made me focus on all of these things, all of the stuff I needed to unpack and find peace with. And just like, yes,
yeah,
this is, you know what? I'm not going to let all this other stuff that's been cluttering my brain for like all the crap I had heard clutter my brain so much. And just,
it's very chic.
I love that.
Very chic.
I love that. Cause I feel like sometimes too, like you think like, oh, I need to lose like 10 pounds, I need to lose 15 pounds. But sometimes it's just the mindset reshift.
Yeah.
Is exactly what you're saying, that you feel confident.
Yeah.
Feel good.
Yeah. And I think the thing that when people dole out the negativity, I think what I found that what shocks most people is how I come back with, like, well, I think I'm like, that's nice that you think that, but like, I don't. I think mm-hmm. I'm blah, 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 blah. Great. And yeah.
I'm wondering if, do you think this is more of a generational thing too? Because like, I feel like the way it's at least held me back has been more in my own head that I'm like, oh, I'm not getting as many matches as I probably would if I was like a size two or something. Like that's how it's played in for me personally. And I personally have never had like this much or heard of that much like blatant conversation. I know another member of our group who's also in her like mid-40s, Janice mentioned, the one that we brought up earlier, that like she had men being like, oh, I only date models, like even you at 120 pounds like are too much or whatever. Like, do you think this is a generational thing? Because I feel like men that are even younger like would never dream to even say something like this, at least out loud. I don't know what you both think.
I don't know if it's generational or if there's a certain subset of men in their mid-40s that are just assholes. And I say that because, yeah, Janice and I are around the same age. And I will say I am one of those people who will date outside of like the 10-year age range. So, you know, I've been a cougar and I have been the much younger one in relationships. I have only heard this kind of, you know, vitriol from men around my age. So in mid 40, and I don't know if it is, best guess is they're angry from the marriage that didn't work out and they're pissed off about something. This is their way of letting their anger out on women who otherwise did them wrong. And I could be wrong, I could be completely off base, but I've only ever heard kind of a certain age group of men seem to say this stuff. It's like, yeah, like who pissed in your Cheerios, fellas? Because it's unnecessary.
I think it goes back into the evidence seeking mindset. I do believe there are a lot of really great men in their mid 40s, but it's these men, unfortunately, who stand out. And the more you look for that, the more they appear. We can maybe blame it on generations, but I would also say these men have gotten this way because they've gotten away with it. That women haven't stopped them or chirped back and said, no, that's not right. They just keep steamrolling until someone stops them. And unfortunately, these men are just, you know, they're kind of like a lost cause if they've had this happen to them for decades, you know, that they've gotten away with it. But I'm just floored that you have not been, Aaron, you've not been with someone who celebrates your body the way mm-hmm. that you do. And I think we can do all the self-work we want. We can love ourselves the way we want. But our partner should also celebrate yeah. everything mm-hmm. that is you. I keep thinking of this movie, I Feel Pretty, with Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
You know that movie? And I love that movie mm-hmm. because regardless of how other people see her, she just sees the hottest girl ever.
Yeah.
In the yeah. mirror.
But so she's does like, her partner, you know?
Exactly. And she's like confused when other people don't find her attractive. She's like, I just don't understand it because in the mirror I see the hottest thing ever. And that's what the partner should be doing as well. Like the partner should celebrate every inch of you.
The reason I say the generational thing, and I still kind of do have this as a hypothesis a little, I agree it's not every man in their 40s. I'm not going to like blanket statement that. But I think this day and age, like what you were saying, UA, they got away with it. Like I think back, like when this behavior starts to fester, I think there's a couple things at play, like the magazines that we were all exposed to back in the day, like Cosmo for women, like
GQ, ones? Men's Health, Maxim.
Maxim, that's the one I was thinking of. I feel like they
SHM.
Just
SHM.
Maxim was. I remember I used to read Maxim to like try to get into a
me
male
too.
Mindset.
Yeah, me too.
To, like,
I subscribed,
but I think yeah, me too. But it was so toxic the way they viewed women. So I think that's why I think of like that generation picking this up more, just because of what they were exposed to. And I think current day women would not stand for this as much. So if a man said it, like we put up. a video. I put one up in our Facebook group that I thought was amazing. It was on TikTok, and it was like this guy basically being like, how can you tell a woman to like lose weight so they can become more healthy? Yeah. And at first I like rolled my eyes and I was like, ugh, what a douchebag. Like, I can't believe he's going to go off on this. And he basically, his message was like, you should go become a doctor, like go to medical school for 7 years. And if that's too difficult, shut the fuck up. And I think that message is being told to men more now than it was back then. And I think that's why I think men in their 20s and like even like early 30s, like don't have that mindset as much.
So I don't know when I remember these websites in the 20-aughts. I don't remember them being big in the 20-teens, but there's the whole pickup artist.
Yeah, exactly.
The art of the neg.
Right.
On how to, And I like to think, so men my age, you know, men in their 40s, and maybe like in their early 50s, although I swear I just, you know, late 30s, mostly mid 40s. I don't know if there was just a lot of men that subscribe to that and still think that it works. And so that's what they're doing.
It's just hard to unlearn, right? Like, it's like it's hard to unlearn. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, I will say when I respond back, because I don't think the men that have said things to me, I don't think they expect me to respond back in the way that I normally will. And I've actually seen, it's almost kind of funny. I have friends who love to go to bars or went to bars with me to watch how I would respond to men who would do that kind of thing. Because I will say stuff, I don't care if I piss you off because you were mean and you were cruel to me. I will respond back, and not necessarily in a sweet, gracious, kind, angelic manner. Like, I will, you know, I'll say something. And my friends have, you know, there was a time they'd love to just sit at the bar and watch me respond back and just walk away and like just see the responses on the guy's face. Because you can tell the guys don't expect to hear me, you know, telling them something.
So besides like fighting off, you know, like, because I think that's like, obviously it's great that you clap back and you say stuff, but I don't think that should be on you ultimately, right? Like, so how would, like, I know you talked about it a little earlier that therapy was a big part of gaining that confidence. Like, what advice would you have for someone else that's dealing with this? Like, how, and you haven't had that positive reinforcement, at least in a very tangible way. Like, how do you still see yourself in the limelight that you should?
You know, that is such a good question, because I know for me, you know, I have apologized to my younger self. I've written myself the younger letter to say, I'm sorry, I wasn't there for you. I tell myself, my body every day, and I believe it. I truly believe it, that I am a beautiful person inside and out. And for other people who might be struggling with it, I guess that would be my thing, is believe it. Look at yourself and find all of the beautiful parts inside of you and outside of you. Because I refuse to believe that, you know, we are all beautiful inside and out. And to find that. My other thing would be, and this is kind of an external way of looking out, but be an empathetic dater.
Mm-hmm.
This almost goes back to what, you know, we were talking about earlier, that, you know, with the, we look for things that we ourselves don't have. And I know when I see conversations about appearance and, you know, apps, and I think it's something that just guts me and makes me feel sad about dating apps, is how many people, how appearance based they are. Mm-hmm. And to me, I really do try and look, maybe it's a Pollyanna view of things, but I really do try and get a sense of the person and not just their appearance. I think because of how I have been talked to, or because of my own things, my need to, my celebrating myself, I want to do that to other people and with men out there, celebrate accomplishments, not just the way they look. So I try to practice empathy. I look at someone like, are you a good person? You know, are you doing stuff to make the world a better place? Or are you just showing up because, hey, I'm hot and I think I'm hot stuff and that's it. That's all I have to offer the world. So I try to be that. And I would advise anybody listening to be an empathetic dater. It's, you know, put yourself in the shoes of everybody else and recognize that you too have your own flaws. Everybody does. So yeah, I guess to me, for anyone struggling with like, okay, where do I get that confidence? I feel like confidence is one of those things you have to fully immerse yourself in, and you have to believe it. I think that's the one, 100%. You have to believe that you are the beautiful creature or handsome creature that you are, and not just make it lip service. You know, don't just write it on an index card or post it and put it on your mirror. Actually believe it.
Yeah, believing is the hard part, because before you believe in something, you have all these doubts in your mind. So that, I think that's like the biggest hump to all of this, to just having confidence in general, is truly believing. But I think step number one is being open to believing that you are this beautiful creature, just being open to the idea of it. I think something you said, and both of you, when you're bringing up the generational topic earlier, just made me think of this takeaway, which is like, I think we have to practice what we preach, and we are all each other's consequences. I think a lot of these men were probably bullied, or they have these insecurities that were brought out by someone else, and they feel the need to make other people feel small. So we're all each other's consequences, and it's unfortunate.
Your favorite quote.
My favorite quote that I think I made up because I can't find the source. But also this idea of, we got to practice what we preach. And I say this because I think generationally, why we see this with men in their 40s and older is that they grew up with this pageant culture where there was Miss America, Miss USA, and it's a bunch of women strutting around for men to comment about their bodies and their hair and their makeup. But at the end of the day, it's like, we are not out there for other people to comment on us. Like, I am not for you to, my body is not out here for you to judge. But because of media, it made it feel like men were in control of commenting on women's looks. And then if you look at current day, these are co-ed pageants that you're on, right? Like, if you look through any app as you're swiping through, you're swiping through a pageant and you're commenting on everything based on their looks and their profile. So I think that before we can be confident and also, you know, be with a partner who celebrates us, we also have to be less judgmental of other people. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself in the thought of, oh, I'm judging this person's height, I'm judging this person's looks or what they're wearing, at least stop yourself there and recognize that you're doing that, because we're just so accustomed to doing that nowadays. And it's unfortunate because we don't want other people to do that to us. So we shouldn't do that to other people too.
Totally. I was going to say a similar takeaway. So I guess we're all in takeaways now. But I think the other one I had is the flip side of that is, like, I find it really unfortunate that someone hasn't celebrated your body fully.
Yeah.
And I think we really, no, like, I really do. I think, like, people really should be saying stuff to people, because you just never know, like when you say a comment that stings someone, you never know how it's going to affect them. But also when you give a comment that praises them, you never know, like, the impact that it will make. Like, I know for myself, like, that I'm not saying that your whole fulfillment needs to come from other people.
Oh, yeah.
But hearing it does, like, put the people that haven't felt that way. You're like, okay, I don't need to appeal to every last person. Like, there's some people that find me attractive, and that's all that I really need, is I just need someone that, you know, truly sees me for who I am and loves what they're seeing. So I think that is really important, that as we're all dating, is to compliment our partners, like, in whatever way, because you just don't know what people's insecurities are. And, like, until you get to that deep place with someone that you're willing to share them, the early stages, that could really make or break how they feel about themselves and also how they feel about you. So I think that's one of my major takeaways. Mm-hmm. And then the other side is, this stuff takes time. Like, I feel like I've come to terms with this stuff, but it still creeps up as well. Like, especially, I know I'm, when I gain a couple pounds, like, I'm not feeling my best. And I need to remember that I've had so many conversations with friends too that are like, oh my God, I've gained like 15 pounds. I feel uncomfortable, or 10 pounds. I can't believe it. And I'm like, I don't even notice on you, but I get it. Like, as yourself, I think it's like that line of like, I think someone in the Facebook group said, like, I go on this line of like, love me the way I am versus like, should I lose a little weight to be healthier? And I don't think anyone should ever tell you to lose weight unless they're a doctor, of course, and you're seeking out their professional advice, like that guy from TikTok said. But I think if you feel better about yourself, then that confidence is easier to have. So I don't think it should just be like kind of an excuse to just do whatever either. Like, I know for myself, like, I do feel better when I'm healthy and I'm in a good place. But I also think that it's okay if you have setbacks. Like, sometimes, like, I mean, we're going through a global pandemic. I read somewhere, like, if the worst thing that comes out of it is that you've gained a little extra weight, it's like you're doing pretty well, right? So
right.
I think it's like having compassion for yourself too. And like, I had that thought that I haven't had in a long time, but I'm like, okay, I need to just, you know, take it in that I had the thought, address it and move on, and really just have like kind of confidence in like, okay, if this person does believe that, then they're not my person. Like, my person will like the whole package of what I am.
The whole package of who you are, and also the future, like the evolution of who Julie will become, who Aaron will become, who UA will become. For me, like, I struggle so much with aging right now. I'm about to hit 40 next year, and I feel everything changing, from my hair to my skin to my body to muscle aches. And I'm insecure about the things that like that used to be so easy for me in my 20s and 30s. And I see that it is so not easy for me anymore. But I appreciate the fact that my partner can celebrate my evolution and say, I love the gray hairs that you're getting. I love that you don't look like a 25-year-old. I didn't want to date a 25-year-old. So it's just like the partner has to celebrate who you are today, but also know, also celebrate who you are tomorrow, and celebrate all the decisions that you make for yourself, not the decisions they make for you.
Right. And everyone, I've learned along the way, is everyone has an insecurity.
Oh, yeah.
It shows up in different ways. And I think, I'm not saying that it's ever great to hear someone's like fails with dating and relationships, but what I've heard along the way is it's people that, you know, are like what you think of as the person that has it super easy because of the way they look. They don't have it super easy all the time. And I think it does put into perspective that, you know, like humans are humans at the end of the day. And some people are going to be attracted to you, some people aren't. And it doesn't mean that, you know, like everyone's attracted to everyone. Everyone's going to experience some people thinking they're the hottest thing and some people not.
Right, right. I'm definitely accepting applications for if anyone wants to swing on by my Instagram and, you know, Facebook and tell me that, you know, I'm cute, you know, I'm single and I'm cute. No,
I don't know if it counts if we tell you, but
yeah. Well, no, and like, and I do, when my friends, when, you know, even my family and friends say like, you know, you are a beautiful soul, you're a beautiful person, like, I do actually hear that.
And you're freaking gorgeous, just for the record.
And I was when I heard you say this stuff, I was shocked, because like, when I look at you, I don't see any of that stuff. So
I think culturally, we need to do so many systemic changes in our beliefs and in how we speak to each other as women too. I always think back to that scene from Mean Girls where they're sitting at the lunch table and Regina's like, I feel fat. And then she's like looking on the table, asking for other people to tell their insecurities. And one, Gretchen, I think, had no insecurity. She just had to make one up just to fit in. And I think that's just like how we talk to each other. It's, we almost talk about insecurities as a way to bond. Why don't we flip that? I mean, what if we started conversations with, my ass looks amazing today, right? Like, let's just start lunch, start brunch that way. Like, my hair is looking so good right now. Like, you just need to just turn it positively and celebrate each other more too.
Totally. And I think, like, I really do hope men are listening to this, because I think I've also taken away that I need to be a lot more conscious of men's insecurities. Oh, yes. Like, I know we'll make jokes all the time about height, but that can really sting people, mm-hmm. you know, like if there is a joke about height, like people making that subconsciously. And like every time a woman says, I only date someone that's like 5'11 plus, like anyone that's under 5'11, like, you know that they're feeling down about themselves. Oh, yeah. So I think we need to really stop saying this stuff. Like, women cannot be upset that men have weight complexes when we have height complexes. Mm-hmm. Like, it needs to go both directions.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I talked about this on one of our intros like a couple weeks ago about how a guy led with the height. And mm-hmm. I think that's very different than like just being a certain height. And like some guy like commented in YouTube that was like, women should have to put their weight on profiles. Oh, and it's like, no, men and we actually shouldn't have heights on the profile either. Like, really, both right. of those should be gone. Like, right. why does that exist? But point we've had of having empathy for the other person. And then I think, like, I mean, the best relationships I've been in is when I can like openly talk about this stuff with my partner. Mm-hmm. And I think like that is the ideal of where we go. Like what you were saying too, UA, like someone that, you know, like not just hears you, but loves you for what you're going through, but someone you can also vent to about your insecurities. Mm. Like, I think that's okay, because it makes it open for them to also do the same, because you know everyone has them.
Amen. Amen to that.
That's right.
Any other takeaways?
I think the other thing is, like, if you don't have something nice to say, just don't say it. Like, why? Why do that? Like, how is that helping in any way? I mean, it's just making yourself feel better, but like, make yourself feel better in another way.
Yeah. And let's keep each other in check too. If you find that your friends are commenting about someone, someone that's just totally inappropriate, tell them to stop. Say them, yeah. Tell them, yeah. It's not appropriate.
Because even if it's not to your face, it's still like the energy is out there.
Totally.
And someone like subconsciously feels it. So,
and you're perpetuating that culture.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah. Hopefully by the next generation, Gen Z is like, what? I've never had anyone talk about my looks. I don't care what I look like. That's my wish.
Okay. So this is just a very quick anecdote, but I was speaking to a group of boys like a few days ago, and because they were on dating apps and they wanted my opinion, and all of them are in their like mid to late 30s, and all of them are scrolling at girls who are 22 to 25. And my question to them, very innocently, I was like, why this age range?
Wait, how old are the boys?
Mid to late 30s.
Okay, when you said boys, I thought you meant like 18 oh, yeah, sorry. For a second. I was like, why are you talking to boys? Okay.
I was talking to men who were in their mid to late 30s, only scrolling through girls who were in their early to mid 20s. And I asked them why they were doing this. And one of them kind of had to hesitate and think about it. And he said, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Is that we're supposed to scroll for girls who are 10 years younger? Isn't that like the social norm? And I had to just be like, hold up. Why is that the social norm? And keep on peeling back the layers on why that's such a rooted image in their head. But I think it goes into this body image thing too, is when people scroll for, let's say, people who are only skinny. Like, you have to just ask, mm-hmm. what is it in your head that makes you feel like that's what you should be looking for? Why is totally. That? Is that rooted from your own personal interests, or just like you feel like that's what society wants you to do?
Aren't there studies that like there's higher like porn, people look up porn of heavier women yes. more than thinner women?
Yeah.
There's I've a lot of those studies. Yeah. yeah. And it's like there's almost something like you're not supposed to do this in real society, but I can do it behind the screen. And that means that their preference probably is actually for a fuller figure woman.
So interesting anecdote that hopefully my mom isn't listening. Well, sorry, Mom.
She listened to Dateable.
And if she does, she is a cool ass mom. Does,
well, she actually, this episode, she probably would, just because it's me. But no, so to that point, I definitely have had several, more than a handful of invitations to have that friends with benefits kind of situationship, because it almost speaks to that, you know, I find you attractive enough to want to sleep with, but not to be seen with publicly. And
have you watched the show Shrill? Have you watched
that TV show? I love that show.
It totally reminds me of that. Remember he like made her like climb out the the back door?
Yeah, it's the porn thing. I've definitely heard that statistic too, that it's like, it's almost, it's okay. This is, I'm what you actually want, you know, physically, but, you know, won't admit to your friends kind of thing. And to that, I just, you know, I think back in the day when I wanted that kind of attention, it's like, oh, this feels flattering. And then I woke up and realized, no, that's not flattering. But yeah.
Well, hopefully men will have the confidence too to just, you know, be like good with what they're attracted to, not just like, I need to fit this stereotype or I'll be made fun of. Like, that is a terrible, terrible image that we have.
Yeah. My last takeaway is to celebrate all kinds of bodies and celebrate your own body. Mm-hmm. That, mm-hmm. you know, I'm the only person I know who actually celebrates the wrinkles on my face. Because to me, you know, I look at it, it's like, well, that's because I laugh a lot. I have laugh lines because I laugh a lot. Or I have wrinkles around my eyes because I laugh. Life has thrown me a lot of crap and I still laugh. Or, you know, again, I look and I celebrate all of those things. And I look at other people's bodies, you know, or help my friends, help people, you know, random person in the store. It's like, nope, you are a gorgeous creature. And celebrate other people. That concept might seem or sound foreign or hokey to some people, but I don't think we do it enough, whether we're wanting to date them or they're just random strangers. I feel like we need to do more of gift that random person trying on a shoe or a shirt that compliment and tell them how cool it looks, whether it's a man or a woman. Because, you know, I think as we've said, you have no idea what someone's going through and how much just that small compliment, or even if you're matching on an app with someone, if you see a shirt or something on someone on an app and you just want to swipe to say, you know what, you have gorgeous eyes.
Yes,
that's a great color on you. That's such an easy line.
It goes a long way. Such an easy line. Yeah.
You know, to bring it full circle from the very start is when we were talking about our last guest where we did this topic, Natalie Carey, the author of Every Body Beautiful. She made a comment that stuck with me, that it's like, it's to your point about celebrating your body and loving it. It's that, you know, like your body is like your power horse. Like, this is what's getting you through. Like, be happy that you can walk down the street. Like, be thankful for like what your body is giving you instead of just like being upset by it the whole time. So
You know what I remember about that episode too, is that she did pole, right?
Yep. Yeah,
so did I for 9 years. And so like, I do, black belt in karate and also pole dancing. So my nickname was the pole ninja for a while, but, but yeah, like when you think of it that way, like, yeah, look at all the stuff that my body has accomplished. It's got me through a lot. Yeah, girl. Kind of like, I sometimes will pat myself like, yes, way to still be standing despite how many, you know, times you've had crushed knees or whatever.
Way to take pole dance classes, because I'm totally down with that. I think everybody, men and women.
I will say, truthfully, pole dancing had a huge impact on my confidence, because you feel sexy even when you don't in pole. Being able to be more comfortable with your body is what pole dancing is all about. To find the sensualness within you. I mean, I can't advocate enough.
Well, I think this is a great way to wrap up the episode, but this was so insightful. Yeah. So thank you so much, Erin, for sharing so candidly with us.
Yeah, this was great. And it makes me want to challenge every image I have in my head of how someone should look. The reason why Natalie Carey did pole dancing was because she's like, not every pole dancer needs to look that way, what you're picturing in your head. So I challenge everyone to go out there and find something where you want to change the face of what that person is supposed to look like. I think it's a great way to get out of your comfort zone, to try it. So another great way to get out of your comfort zone, actually this should be in your comfort zone, is to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You know, we do love compliments as well. It goes a long way. You can tell us we have beautiful hair or tell us our podcast is amazing. And if you give us 5 stars, we will definitely swipe back on you. It's super simple. Apple Podcasts, simple, like two-liner about why you love us, and 5 stars. That's all we're asking for. And it really affords us the ability to get more fantastic guests like Erin, who's willing to open up with us and continue and sustain our podcast. It's a big deal for all of us. So thank you for those of you who've already done that. Shall we wrap this up?
Stay
Dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcast.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.